Well, there is no such study showing some kind of carnivore diet can help with longevity or aging. Today, the number one cause of death in these United States is the American diet. Surprisingly, there's no evidence that adding extra protein to the diets of older men and women helps with muscle mass or muscle quality, muscle strength, physical performance. Instead, the excess protein most Americans get causes a drop in the pro-longevity hormone FGF21, a drop in testosterone, a worsening of the age-accelerating hormone.
How can we mitigate the effects of aging?
You're listening to the Visibly Fit podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to the Visibly Fit podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. I am so excited to spend this time with you. Thank you for tuning in. Listen, are you obsessed with aging? You're just on this anti-aging kick. Now, we all should be, you know, not obsessed, but we should all be looking to become healthier individuals and best ways not to age, but age gracefully, right? And age in a way that's healthy. Well, I have an awesome guest on today, and it took me quite a few months to get him on, but it's my friend, Dr. Michael Greger. And he wrote the book called How Not to Age. He also wrote the book How Not to Die and How Not to Diet. But this is his newest, latest, greatest book. But Dr. Michael Greger, he is a founding member and fellow of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. He's a physician. He's a New York Times bestselling author and internationally recognized speaker on nutrition. He is a graduate of the Cornell University College of Agriculture and Life Sciences and Tufts University School of Medicine. And all of his proceeds to any of that he receives from his books and speaking engagements, all of them are donated to charity. Yes, he's a very giving individual. He's fascinating. He's one of a kind, and I'm super happy to have him on today. But yeah, as far as aging is concerned, I think we're just so obsessed with aging. I actually had a friend that had written a book about Dying to Be Beautiful, I think was the title of it. And it was about women that dye their hair and just the toxicity of that dye. And hey, I give my hair a little help myself. So we are all dying to be younger, more youthful, and be more beautiful, I guess. And I know beauty is from the inside out. And Dr. Greg is going to talk a little bit about that as well, because he's going to give us all the information on how not to age. Enjoy the interview. Well, welcome to the Visibly Fit podcast, Dr. Greger. So good to see you, my friend.
Happy to be here.
Of course, you're always happy. Every time I see you, you're happy with your broccoli shirts or broccoli ties.
Broccoli tie.
Hey, man, I wore my plant pants for you. I'm going to try to show you. Here we go.
Let's see some pants. Whoa, very nice.
Yeah, plant pants for Dr. Greger. It's all good.
Very nice. Nice to know there's something on under there.
Yes, it's true. Some people don't wear pants during podcast. But no, I wear pants, so that's good. Sometimes my husband might say I wear the pants. I wonder. We'll ask. Anyways, thank you. Thank you for being on. I'm so excited. You have been just busy on this whirlwind of a tour with your new and latest greatest book, How Not to Age. You've written How Not to Die, How Not to Diet, and you're just going to be like, how not to let gravity weigh you down. I don't know. You're going to be on some next book after this. I don't know. How not to. But we're excited about How Not to Age, because in this day and age, it seems like society's a little obsessed with aging. What do you say to that?
As they should be. Right? I mean, it's our nemesis if we want to accomplish what we want to accomplish in life.
But they're going about this aging process in a toxic kind of way. Mindset, emotional, toxic way, and then actually injecting toxins in their body to deflect this natural aging process that can be done in a graceful, healthy way through what? Through nutrition, right?
Indeed.
That's what you're going to talk about.
Nutrition and diet and lifestyle in general. We have tremendous power.
That's right.
Over our health, destiny, and longevity. The vast majority of premature death and disability is preventable with a healthy enough diet and lifestyle.
That's right. So let's talk about that, because you've done a lot of research. And I want to talk about just really the factors of aging. I mean, we know we're all aging, you know, we start off one way and we end another way. We're aging. It's inevitable. But how can we mitigate the effects of aging? What's the best way? And I know your answer, but let's just kind of unpack it a little bit.
Well, based on studies of identical twins, only about 25% of the difference in lifespan between people is due to genetics. So for what we can do over the majority of which we have some control, we can turn to the blue zones, these areas of exceptional longevity around the world where they all share in common centering their diets around whole plant foods. So they're minimizing processed foods and meat, dairy, sugar, eggs, and salt, maximizing fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, beans, peas, chickpeas, and lentils, nuts and seeds, mushrooms, herbs, and spices, basically real food that grows out of the ground. These are our healthiest choices.
Yes. And so what would you say to those that hear this message quite often, but then they see studies from the other camp, if you will, and they're like, but this study says that if I eat more like a carnivore, that I'm going to age better and be stronger. You know, what do you say to these people, and how do they really know? Because there is so much confusion out there for the average person with all the different studies that are, you know, out there, the studies, but it depends on who funds those studies, right? What would you say to that person of how to get the right information and to start taking action?
Well, there is no such study showing some kind of carnivore diet can help with longevity or aging. So you always have to look at the best available balance of evidence. And so, for example, there's only one diet ever proven to reverse the course of heart disease, number one killer of men and women in this country. And that's a plant-based diet. Like, if that's all a plant-based diet could do, reverse the number one killer of men and women, shouldn't that be the kind of default diet until proven otherwise? In fact, it could also be so effective in preventing, arresting, and reversing other leading killers like type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure, which seem to make the case for plant-based eating simply overwhelming at this point.
Absolutely. I'm with you. You know I am. We've been in the same camp for a long time, and I've had the privilege of being with you and being on the team for some of these health immersions with Dr. Stoll and with Whole Foods Market. And it's just so fun to be around people that are immersed in understanding and wanting to grow and learn more in this space. But there's a lot of physicians now that are growing and understanding the power of a whole food plant-based lifestyle and diet, and starting to, just like yourself, of course, but that are prescribing to their patients, just like I am and others. But again, I'm going to go back to that, the studies, and people are hearing nonstop, and I'm hearing this a lot, kind of in my family, some people that want to debunk the fact that whole food plant-based is the way to go, again with the carnivore concept. And so is this something that is funded in such a way that this message is getting out and leading people to believe that this is the way to go as opposed to whole food plant-based?
There just aren't those studies. It's not like there's some like meat lobby, which is funding studies on eating lots of meat.
So it's just articles that they're reading, just articles.
Or blogs or kind of internet sexy BS. But I mean, it just doesn't. I mean, you know, there's actually very little on the carnivore diet published in the medical literature. That alone should make people not want to try it, because we just don't have any science supporting it. We do have this mountain of evidence, however, supporting centering one's diet around whole plant foods. And look, if it wasn't life and death, if diet wasn't the single most important thing to do for our health and well-being of ourselves and our families, then sure, do whatever you want. But according to the Global Burden of Disease Study, the largest systemic of analyses of risk factors for morbidity and mortality to date, the number one cause of death in these United States is the American diet. Bumping tobacco smoking to number two, cigarettes now, like about 500,000 Americans every year, whereas our diet kills many more.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I just wanted to kind of keep bringing that home. Can you talk a little bit and unpack the concept of longevity genes and how they can influence the aging process and, you know, how do we activate those genes?
Again, only about 25% has anything to do with genetics at all. But yeah. Of those 25%, the single gene most predictive of longevity is APOE, which is the so-called Alzheimer's gene. The bad gene variants of APOE lead to one's LDL cholesterol being about 40 points higher, not only increasing risk of dementia, but increasing a risk of cardiovascular disease, our number one killer. What APOE is the primary cholesterol carrier in the brain. So regardless of your genetics, if you're able to tamp down your cholesterol sufficiently with a diet low enough in animal fat, trans fats, and dietary cholesterol, then you won't necessarily suffer the ravages. There are other genes or kind of rare longevity syndromes that have to do with mutations in something called PCSK9, for example, which lead to abnormally low cholesterol levels their whole lives. And so they can eat all sorts of crap, but it doesn't matter because their cholesterol levels are low, so they don't not die of heart disease and they live extraordinarily long lives.
Yeah.
Most of the longevity syndromes center around some kind of cholesterol metabolism because, again, heart disease is our number one killer. So that's how you really affect lifespan.
Right. And I would say that the majority of people don't know anything about their APOE numbers or have even heard of it. So it's something that they should go and get blood work done and check into this.
No, they don't need to. No. I mean, okay. Well, what are you going to do about it?
Well,
I mean, so if it was bad,
I guess it, yeah.
If it was bad, you'd eat healthy, right? Yeah. If it was good, what would you do? You'd eat healthy. So if a test isn't
just
going
to healthy.
Change what you do in life, then now if people require extra motivation and if they're not going to eat healthier unless they know they have some horrible gene variant, okay, well then you could test them. But really everyone just has to eat and live healthfully.
It's really that simple, Dr. Greger. I mean, it really is. Let's talk a little bit about environmental factors with aging, because that is a factor as well, depending on where people live and their stress levels and all the things. So let's talk a little bit about that regarding aging and how people can mitigate based on their environment.
Well, I mean, stress is really only a problem indirectly in that people who are stressed tend to eat more fatty, salty, sugary foods, tend to abuse substances more like alcohol and tobacco. But if you control for those factors, you don't actually see any effect of stress itself on longevity. Same thing with the social disconnection or loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, you know, people who are married, for example, live significantly longer, but it's because people who are married take better care of themselves. And that as long as you maintain your healthy habits, you can be stressed and lonely and has no effect on longevity as long as you can keep taking care of yourself.
Yeah, no, that's good. And then what about the actual physical environment in which you live? Not just your home, but also the environmental outdoor factors in which you live. Does that affect your aging?
Well, what do you mean? Like sun exposure or
yeah,
toxic
sun
exposure?
Exactly. Maybe you live near a plant or that's got toxins, you know, in the air and in the water near you, or yeah, overexposure to sun, different things, or not enough exposure to sun. How about that?
Well, I mean, so sun exposure accounts for about 90% of visible skin aging. So if you want to protect your, if you want to keep your face from aging, you protect your skin from the sun. The single most important thing we can do is wear sunscreen all year round, every day. In terms of exposure to toxins, for most people, unless you really do live by an incinerator or something, really has to do with diet. And the highest levels of these toxins are found in the aquatic food chain, just because, you know, our oceans have essentially become humanity's sewer. Everything eventually flows into the sea. So, you know, all the mercury from all the coal plants in China eventually gets settled down in the waterways and builds up in the food supply. So the highest levels of PCBs and DDT and dioxins are all in, you know, seafood like fish. In the U.S., hundreds of thousands of babies are born with brain damage every year. due to their mothers consuming mercury-contaminated seafood during pregnancy, resulting in estimated billions of dollars of lost productivity every year. And I talk about the implications for aging as well, in terms of hair loss, loss of cognition, etc. So we really should try to eat low on the food chain just because we've been so polluting our environment. And so that's why another reason why eating plant-based is a good way to go.
Yeah, no, that's so good. And, you know, everyone always asks you this. And so I will as well, because someone listening is going to say, okay, Dr. Greger, this is awesome. I'll eat more plants, but, you know, not really getting enough protein. So I'm going to go with that quick response quick and or that question. And also, how does protein affect our aging?
Oh, well, you know, when it comes to protein and aging, less may actually be more. Reducing protein intake, meaning restricting protein down to recommended levels, is the only thing I can find to slow all 11 aging pathways, boosting NAD, improving immunity, or decreasing oxidative stress, inflammation, insulin resistance, as well as the cancer-promoting growth hormone IGF-1. Surprisingly, there's no evidence of adding extra protein to the diets of older men and women. Helps with muscle mass or muscle quality, muscle strength, physical performance. Instead, the excess protein most Americans get causes a drop in the pro-longevity hormone FGF21, a drop in testosterone, a worsening of the age-accelerating hormone mTOR. So I would encourage people to strive to stick to the recommended 0.8 grams per healthy kilogram of body weight, which comes out to be about 45 grams a day for the average height woman, 55 grams a day for the average height man.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out, because I believe that, I don't know, just society in general seems to be obsessed not just with this anti-aging thing, but also with I need more protein. And they're just like over indulging in protein. So you're saying that that is a factor in aging. So that's good. I wanted to clarify that. So very good. Okay, what about, we talked a little bit about nutrition. Let's talk about exercise. I'm a big fan of moving your body and using your body as your gym. What is your means of exercise? And obviously, you know, I want you to talk about exercise versus, you know, and how that contributes to aging or anti-aging.
Sure. I work on a walking treadmill desk. I'm on it now. I just don't want to make people seasick. So that's why I have it turned off. I'm a big fan. In fact, part of my daily dozen, a checklist of healthiest of healthy things you can do every day, includes 90 minutes of moderate intensity exercise every day, or 45 minutes of vigorous exercise. Physical activity not only improves muscle mass and strength, balance, mobility, decreasing the risk of falls, minimizing bone loss, but exercise has been shown to improve cognition, enhance mood, treat depression, improve artery function, erectile function, insulin sensitivity, and overall quality of life.
Yes, 100%. And what is your favorite besides walking? Do you do any strength
training?
I
just moved into an apartment building next to the airport for my speaking tour on the 18th floor. So every day I jog up 18 flights. That helps get my heart rate up. And it has a gym too. So I started doing resistance exercise. It's the first time I've ever had access to that. So that's exciting too. Just have to add some balance and flexibility and I'll have the whole package.
I love it. That's awesome. I got to teach you some of the Visibly Fit exercises, visualized resistance moves. You'd love them. Yeah.
Oh, great.
So super cool. Awesome. All right. What are some common just misconceptions and myths that people have around aging that maybe you could debunk?
Oh my God, so much. There were so many surprises that I ran to. Happy to talk about any of them. What I found about exercise was surprising: sleep, red wine, resveratrol, NAD supplements, vitamin D, fish, protein.
Hold up, let's talk red wine.
MicroRNAs, whatever you want. Well,
because I literally had a patient of mine, this is no joke. She called me up the other day and she said, I had a friend that told me I'm going to die sooner if I don't drink my red wine. I said, what? Wait a minute. No, it's the opposite, but let's talk red wine.
It is the opposite. Everyone agrees that heavy drinking during pregnancy and binge drinking are bad ideas, but there's been controversy over moderate drinking. Those who tend to live longest are not the abstainers who drink zero alcohol, but those who imbibe a few drinks a week. Unfortunately, this appears to be an artifact of the so-called sick quitter effect, arising from the systemic misclassification of former drinkers as if they were lifelong abstainers. It's the same reason why studies can find higher mortality rates among those who quit smoking compared to those who continue to smoke. It's not that abstention led to poor health, but rather that poor health led to abstention. So, according to the Global Burden of Disease Study, the World Health Organization, the World Heart Federation, the safest level of drinking is none. Grapes, barley, and potatoes are best eaten in their non-distilled form, and Johnny Walker is no substitute for actual walking.
So, Jose Cuervo, you're not a friend of ours.
That is true.
You're not a friend of mine. That's good. I love it. Well, cool. What about as we age? Let's talk a little bit about the emotional and mental, habits or practices that could help with anti-aging.
It's whatever makes you eat healthier and move more and stop smoking.
Okay. So
it's all mediated through lifestyle.
Yeah. I didn't know if you had certain practices of kind of mindset practices to get people on that trajectory of staying healthy with eating and their exercise and being consistent in those habits, or I don't know.
It's their body, their choice. They want to smoke cigarettes, go bungee jumping, disconnect their smoke alarms, not wear their seatbelt. It's up to them. All I care about.
You're just stating the facts, Jack.
Exactly. People are responsible for the predictable consequences of their actions. As a physician, all my role is to educate people about what those consequences are, and then people can decide for themselves.
Yeah, that's good. Let's talk a little bit about the power of, you did mention this a minute ago about the power of eating healthier and living longer as a married couple, typically. What about just like tribe and community? How does that play a role in anti-aging?
Depends who your tribe and community is. If your
Ooh,
tribe and
answer.
Community are smokers and drinkers and drug users and obese and do terrible things, and you're more likely to do those terrible things to your body too.
Birds
but
of
if
a
you
feather.
Surround yourself by really healthy people, then they can rub off on you in a positive way.
Yeah, no, definitely. What have you found that as you wrote How Not to Age, what kind of stuck out to you the most? And I know you did a lot of research, and you always do, but that affected you personally when you were doing research in this book of like, oh my, that's kind of an eye-opening something I found that I wrote in this book. What was something extra eye-opening for you? Anything?
Oh, a lot of things. Oh my God. I learned as much writing the books as anyone gets reading the books. I mean, some of these areas of science, like the microRNAs, didn't even exist when I was, when I graduated from medical school. So, certainly things that have changed in my diet. I'm eating something called papali or long pepper, which is part of the black pepper family because of its purported senolytic properties. I'm eating more strawberries than I used to, wheat germ, cardamom, eat more tempeh, started growing my own oyster mushrooms, all because of things I found in the book.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Tell me about these peppers.
So papali is a spice you can get at kind of a Middle Eastern spice store. It contains a compound called piperlongumine, which may have senolytic properties, which means it destroys these so-called zombie cells in the body, which are spewing inflammatory mediators and may be contributing to the aging process.
Okay, that's super cool. Every little bit that we can learn and add to our nutritional hygiene and regimen is welcomed. So let's talk a little bit about zombie cells, if you're cool with that. A lot of people haven't heard about zombie cells. Let's unpack that a little bit.
Sure. Cellular senescence, or the accumulation of so-called zombie cells, is considered to be one of the foundational hallmarks of aging. Most of our cells can only divide about 50 times before they start kind of stalling out, at which point they secrete these inflammatory compounds to signal to the immune system to, carry them away, wipe them out. Unfortunately, our ability to remove these cells declines with age, so our bodies, our tissues become littered with them. Thankfully, we can prevent premature senescence by averting oxidative DNA damage and potentially help clear them out by eating natural senolytic compounds in foods like quercetin, fisetin, and piperlongumine. So to help slow this aging pathway, I encourage readers to, on a daily basis, consume quercetin-rich foods, beverages, and seasonings such as onions, apples, kale, tea, and low-salt capers. For fisetin, it's about eating fresh, frozen, or freeze-dried strawberries every day. And then we can season our meals with papale, also known as long pepper.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. What about there's a few people out there, one in particular, but a few people out there that are definitely saying don't eat legumes, don't eat beans, you know, just lectins. Let's talk a little bit about lectins, because that question comes up a lot.
There are people who say the earth is flat as well.
That's good.
So according to the Global Burning Disease Study, the largest systematic analysis of risk factors in history, the single most important thing we can do in terms of a lifespan extension is to eat more legumes. Legumes for longevity. In fact, that is the centerpiece of all the diets, of all the blue zones, areas where they have the highest longevity, most centenarians, etc. And so anyone saying that we should cut down on legumes just doesn't know what the science says. These so-called these lectins are concentrated in legumes. So boy, if legumes were lectins were bad for us, then we would see the exact opposite. But of course, we don't.
Right. Thank you. I just wanted to have that conversation with you. One of the last questions, I've got a couple here, but one of the last ones I want to talk about is olive oil. That seems to be a big one with my patients and others in my space. And I usually tend to people to push them to eat the olive itself rather than the olive oil. But what's your take on olive oil?
Well, the concern with the olive is it's too high in sodium.
Well, rinse it. Yeah.
So it's kind of one of the rare foods. Normally, that's what you do. You say, well, eat the whole food. So instead of walnut oil, eat walnuts. But olives, the brining process really does add a lot of sodium. But look, if you're not eating any processed foods and you can keep your sodium intake under 1,500 milligrams a day, the American Heart Association recommendation, then yeah, go for it. Definitely. I encourage people to get all their macronutrients, their fat, their protein, their carbohydrates from whole food sources. So, you know, you get your carbohydrates from, you know, fruit, not from table sugar. You get your fats from whole food sources like nuts, seeds, avocados, not oil. And you get your, you know, protein from, you know, foods like legumes, not protein powders.
Yes. Awesome. I love that. I'm switching over to sleep here because there's a lot of people that, you know, their motto is I'll sleep when I die. how quick are they going to get to that death place if they don't sleep? And just the power of anti-aging by taking the time to sleep and sleep well.
Oh, well, that was one of those surprising things I found in the book, that the relationship between sleep and longevity is actually really quite uncertain. People who live longer, who sleep longer than 9 hours, actually live longer than those who sleep under 5 hours. So it's worse to sleep long than it is to sleep short. But this is all observational evidence. You can imagine all the confounding factors. Who sleeps long? Those without a job, maybe those with low socioeconomic status, maybe those who are depressed. No wonder they're dying sooner. But yeah, it's very unclear whether sleeping more will enable you to live longer. However, there are certainly quality benefits of sleeping in terms of immune function and mood and all sorts of other things.
Okay. No, that's good. I'm glad I brought that up because sleep is one of those things that, you know, I mean, maybe everyone's just a little bit different on that. Well, cool. Well, I would love to just kind of shift this conversation to a little more personal. You know that most of my listeners are of the Christian faith, but I bring on different people all the time. You were brought up Jewish, right? Practicing Jewish, the faith, and you may still practice. I don't know. But your mother, she, from what I understand, she used to teach biblical Hebrew. Is that correct?
That is true. She would teach it to mostly preachers who wanted to read the original text in original language.
That is so cool. That is on my list to study Hebrew. So you were in good hands there. So you probably have deep understanding and knowledge there as well, which is super cool. Now, do you still practice your faith or?
I do not.
Yeah. Okay.
I am a devout atheist.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, I had Dr. Doug Lyle on. It was awesome. You know, he's a good friend of ours as well. So I'm glad we're having this conversation because I love you. I love you dearly. I think we learn from each other, and it's not about a faith, even though I have Christian listeners. So anyway, I appreciate so much of what you're doing in this world and how you are making an impact with all of your research. And in fact, we are kind of connected. I had an intern that worked for me years and years ago, and she now works for you, Christina.
Wonderful.
Which is super fun. So it's a small world, but I just want to say thank you for all the impact that you're making in this world with your research and your stick-tivity of doing the hard work.
Because I'm happy to help easy. Out.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, on a final note, what is something fun that Dr. Greger likes to do, like on your off time, you and your wife, or just you on your own? What do you like to do that's I don't know. Maybe it's recreational.
My passion, that's aside from work, is for, it's called effective altruism. It's philanthropy, trying to maximize the impact of one's time, one's resources, one's money. And so, you know, all the money I receive from all the sales of my books is all donated directly to charity. So that's millions of dollars. And the question is, where can I make the most impact with those millions of dollars? So I spend a lot of my time talking to groups and donating assessing the most impactful way I can distribute those resources.
That is so amazing, Dr. Greger. That is like inspiring, the fact that you give away and donate the funds. So those of you that are listening, go get How Not to Age and How Not to Die and How Not to Diet. And all of his books are phenomenal. But I appreciate your time. Again, I thank you for your wisdom and appreciate the interview.
Absolutely. Keep up the great work yourself.
All right. Blessings, friend. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, I sure hope you enjoyed that episode of Visibly Fit. That was super fun to have Dr. Greger on, and hope you learned a few things. And I definitely hope that you go to nutritionfacts.org and get his book, How Not to Age. And again, all proceeds do go to charity. Now, if you are listening and you are looking to get on track with your nutrition and your exercise and your well-being on just on a whole, mind, body, spirit, emotions, go to getvisiblyfit.com and we can start talking and get you ready and signed up for my 7-week program that will walk you through meal plans, grocery lists, recipes, workouts. We have coaching and accountability, and it's just an amazing experience. And I promise you will see incredible results, and you will start to begin your own anti-aging program by just jumping right into that getvisiblyfit.com program. So thank you again for tuning in. Share this episode with others, and I look forward to catching you on the next episode of Visibly Fit. Be blessed.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypet.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.